Welcome back to another Nugget of Truth. We're looking at the six elementary principles found in Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. And these are important because they are foundational to our growth as Christians. The first principle was repentance from dead works, but the second is closely connected. The second principle is the faith by which you turn to God. In other words, you must repent or turn around in your thinking about God. That has to happen first. Then you must decide to put your trust or faith in the one who saved you, Jesus Christ. So what is this word faith? The word faith in the original Greek is pistis. In general, the word faith means to have a moral conviction of the truthfulness of God and the truthfulness of the scriptures. In reference to our topic, the faith by which you turn to God, it means that you believe Jesus is the Savior. He is who he says he is. Faith in this sense means that you have an assurance, a confidence, a belief that you are truly born again. Now, in Christianity, there are at least three different kinds of faith. And what we've been talking about is what we call saving faith. That faith which caused you to turn to God. But the second kind of faith is what you might call word faith or faith in the Bible. And that is faith in the promises of the Word of God. And that those kinds of promises and that kind of faith has everything to do with Christian living and how to live the Christian life. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your Word," or the Word of God, "is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the third is called the gift of faith. And the gift of faith is one of the nine spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a supernatural release of faith to see the miraculous take place. But we're here about the first kind of faith, saving faith. So let's examine that type of faith, that kind of faith that must happen before any other faith can really have any impact. You must constantly, and I encourage you to do this, you'll have to do this over and over again. Remind yourself that God loves you and that his love is an agape type of love. That is, it's an unconditional love. Most of us, if not all of us, grew up learning that if you were good, you got love. If you were bad, love was withheld. That's conditional love. And quite frankly, it's a very natural kind of love. However, God's love is supernatural. I heard someone define agape love this way. Love is living your life for someone else's good. God's greatest joy is to bless you, his creation. Now, of course, his blessings are contingent upon your obedience. Now, the amazing thing about God's love is that it never changes. Even when you're disobedient and sinning against God, his love doesn't change. And that's such an amazing truth to comprehend. Now, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, listen to what it says. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Numbers 23:19 says this. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. In other words, he's not a human. He is superhuman, if you will. Now, here's the point of this post. You are born again once. You can't lose your salvation, as in losing a set of keys or by accident. Listen, you will make mistakes in your walk with God. No one is perfect in actions or thoughts. It takes time to mature as a Christian. And that's why it's so important to settle the issue once and for all. You are saved. God loves you. As a matter of fact, the struggle to do right and be right indicates that you are on the right road. You see, a person who's not born again, he wouldn't even try to become a better Christian. So here's a promise you can hold on to. Listen to this. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you the Holy Spirit was doing that good work, well, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 1:6. Now, to be fair, you do have an enemy. And that enemy will try to create doubt in your mind about God's love for you and the certainty of your salvation. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober or clear-headed, be vigilant or alert, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Don't fall for the devil's lies. Don't become entrapped in the emotional roller coaster he can create. And the way we do that is we stand upon the word. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. And then Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Listen, that is a promise. A promise from God. I can remember very clearly my own struggle to become established in my salvation. In the very early days, there were times I felt saved, and then the very next day I felt unsaved, or that I had lost my salvation. It was only when I learned not to rely on feelings, but to hold on to what God says in his word. Jesus said, now listen, "And I give them eternal life." That's you and me. "And they will never perish, neither will anyone snatch them out of my hand." John 10:28. How exciting is that? Now let me close with this final verse from Hebrews 6:1. Now that's what we've been studying. "Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith towards God." Settle this in your heart. Settle this in your mind. Trust the word of God. Trust what God has said. You are his. He is yours. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.